Genesis 23, verses 1 through 20. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, "I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." The Hittites answered Abraham, "Hear us, my lord, you are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you the tomb to hinder you from burying your dead." Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land, and he said to them, "If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zorah, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place." Now Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites. Of all who went in at the gate of his city, "No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead." Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land. And he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, "But if you will, hear me. I give you the price of the field. Accept it from me, and I may bury my dead there." Ephron answered Abraham, "My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead." Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron of Machpelah, which was at the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all of the trees that were in the field, throughout its whole area, were made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites, before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. Shall we pray? Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ by promise and shadow in these pages. Help us to understand these words for thy name's sake. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." Shall we pray? Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament and ask you to give us your spirit so that we may understand the fullness of your truth. Amen.
Well, 2 months ago, one of our members passed away. He was in his late 40s and left his wife and two boys behind. It was 9 p.m. on a Monday, and the day before was the Easter Sunday, when he had the chance to listen to his last sermon on the resurrection of the Lord and received at his deathbed the Lord's Supper. And I was able to accompany his family that night, seeing his body being taken away and hearing the cries of his mom and his wife. Death reminds us that our lives are not eternal, and this world is not our final home. What should we do as God's covenant people in face of death? What can we do against this enemy? Today, the text of Genesis 23 invites us to attend a funeral that took place 4,000 years ago, the burial of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And from this text, we can learn from Abraham, and we can see what he did in face of his beloved wife's death. And he did three things, and these three things are also what we can do when we face death, our enemy. So we see from this text that Abraham wept, and Abraham confessed his identity as a sojourner in the land. And third, he looked upon the fulfillment of God's promise. So these are the three things Abraham did and the three things that we can do in face of death. So let's start from the beginning, from the first thing he did. He wept. Verse 1 and 2 introduced the occasion of his weeping. Sarah, his wife, lived 127 years and died. Sarah is very important in the history of redemption. Indeed, the two important aspects of the Abrahamic covenant, namely offspring and land, were both fulfilled for the first time through Sarah. Not only was Isaac born to her, but the first piece of property Abraham legally owned in the promised land was also obtained through her, though through her death. Sarah became the first among God's covenantal people to be buried in the land of promise. Perhaps it is a good place to give a brief account of Sarah's life, as in all funerals. Sarah was Abraham's half-sister, who later married to him. She followed Abraham all the way from Haran to Canaan. She was faithful and loyal to her husband. In Egypt, she was even willing to sacrifice herself to be married to Pharaoh to protect her husband. In order for Abraham to have a son, she was willing to sacrifice her marriage to give him her servant Hagar. She was willing to go to the end of the world for her husband. At the age of 90, she bore Abraham the promised son, Isaac. They had truly walked through life together, through many trials and storms. Thus, faced with the death of this Sarah, Abraham was overwhelmed with grief. And scripture says, Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. This is the only time the Bible records Abraham weeping. Abraham didn't weep when he lost his father. Abraham didn't weep when he lost Lot, his nephew. He didn't weep when he lost Ishmael or Hagar. nor even when he was about to offer sacrifice on the Mount Moriah by his son Isaac. But here, for Sarah, this patriarch of faith wept. Abraham's response shows us that sorrow is not contrary to faith. Sometimes we may mistakenly believe that if our faith is so strong, if we just have more faith, we would become immune to all the negative emotions like sorrow. On the contrary, sorrow is the proper response of faith to the loss and death. And remember, Jesus himself wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And therefore, as Christians in this world, we still mourn, we grieve, and we weep. We're still hurt by the sting of death. It is in the pain, it is precisely in the pain and sorrow that we understand why death is called our throne, a sworn enemy. Why the scripture called a death as the wage of sin and the result of the humanity's fall. And this death is agonizing yoke on our mortals. So this is the first thing we see that Abraham did. He wept. And we can learn from him. We can grieve. We can weep. We can be sorrowful. And now we're going to see the second thing Abraham did. That is, he confessed his identity as a sojourner. From verses 3 to 18, this major chunk of the text is the account for Abraham's negotiation with Hittites for a property to bury his wife. The very fact that he needed to make this in the negotiation, to make this purchase of a piece of land, is so evidently show that his identity in the land is a sojourner. He's a stranger, a foreigner. In fact, this is the first thing he said to the Hittites. Verse 4, he said, "I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you." What does that mean, being a sojourner, being a foreigner? It means that he had no legal status of ownership of any piece of land in Canaan. Therefore, he has to ask the Hittites. He said, "Give me property among you for a burying place." The following conversations, therefore, are a formal legal binding transactions for land ownership. And we don't have time to go into all the details. There are many ancient Near East historical background for this transaction recording. But for the time's sake, we just make a few important points. It is worth reflecting on this point a little bit more, that Abraham is a sojourner, was a sojourner. He knew clearly that God had promised him to give this land to him and to his offspring. And so this land is somehow already his, but not yet his. It is promised to him, but not yet fulfilled. What did he do about this already and not yet status? Well, he did not go up to the Hittites saying, "Just so you know, you pagan heathen Hittites, every inch of the land of Canaan belongs to God. And thus God has just promised this land to me. So you better now submit to my request." No, he didn't command, demand the submission of the world. He didn't wage war against the Hittites to take dominion in the name of the God Almighty. He confessed that he was a sojourner, was a stranger, was a foreigner, and he was asking for a favor. He was asking for a fair transaction. So this is our identity here in this world as well. The Apostle Peter told us that we are sojourners and exiles. The whole world is promised to us. This is what Paul said in the book of Romans. What God has promised us is the whole world, but it is not yet fulfilled. And we are now living in this world not as lords and masters, but as sojourners. And we see after a series of negotiations, Abraham finally obtained the piece of property at Machpelah. This is the very first legal property Abraham acquired in the Promised Land. It is worth remembering that the very first property that Abraham actually acquired was not a farmland, was not a vineyard, was not a building land. Those pieces of properties are more valuable in the ancient world as is there today. But the first piece of property Abraham actually acquired was a graveyard. This manifests at an even deeper level that he was not the owner of this land, but only a sojourner. Being a sojourner means something more. Being a sojourner not only means that we live in a foreign land, it means that our life on earth was transient. Now Sarah has died. Abraham, too, will soon face his own death. In the face of death, God's people declares that there are just sojourners in the world, wherever they are. Their true homeland is not this world, but the world to come. And this is what the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 says. These all died in faith, Sarah and Abraham, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they are strangers and exiles on earth. If they had been thinking of that land from which they have gone out, they would have the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So this is the second thing Abraham did. He acknowledged his identity as a sojourner. So we have seen the first two things Abraham did in face of death. He wept and he acknowledged himself as a sojourner. And these are the two things that we can learn and we can do. And now, finally, we come to the last point, the third point. A third thing Abraham did. Abraham looked for the fulfillment of God's promise, even in the presence of death. Now, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave of Machpelah, which would also become his own burial place. And one may ask, why this insistence? Why was Abraham so insistent to acquire this piece of land? Why not simply bury her somewhere else? You know, just accept the offer of Hittites, just bury her in Hittites' family tomb. Well, because the eyes of faith, even while standing before the tomb, see the fulfillment of promise. Because God had originally promised Abraham that this land would be his possession. This cave of Machpelah was the first little fulfillment of that promise. Like a foretaste, like a foreshadow of what comes after. Abraham now can point to this tomb and declare, look, this is where God's promise has fulfilled. God's promise is true. Here my beloved Sarah is buried. This tomb is the evidence of God's faithfulness. And I am waiting, and I will die, and I will be buried along with her. But God's promise will come true. Thus, the acquisition of Machpelah is an act of faith in the promise of God. John Calvin comments on this passage, finally found something good. He said, the patriarchs left their bones in Canaan as a final witness to the promise. Even when they themselves had fallen silent in death, their tombs loudly, loudly proclaimed that death could not prevent them from obtaining the promised inheritance. I love Calvin's comments on this. It is faith that grasping God's promise, that declaring that even death, even my own death, cannot prevent these promises from becoming true. But I think there's another layer here. You may remember that the scripture told us that Abraham came to believe the resurrection of the body after the event of sacrificing Isaac at the Mount Moriah. This is what the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 says. So I think Abraham insisted in burying Sarah in Canaan was because he believed in the resurrection of the body. He believed that one day she will be raised by God and she will live in the promised land of God. But Abraham tried so hard and spent a lot to acquire this cave of Machpelah as a guarantee, as a guarantor of the promise. But where is our Machpelah? Where is our guarantee of the promise? Well, our guarantee is also a tomb, but an empty one. The one in which the Son of God was once buried. What God has promised us in Christ, in the risen Lord, is not death, but life. It's not a graveyard, but the resurrection. The heavenly city that one day will descend from heaven. And the eternal salvation in the renewed world where righteousness will dwell forever. And that is the world God promised us to inherit. All these promises are true in Christ. How do we know they are true? Because of that tomb. Because that tomb is empty. In faith, we can also point to that empty tomb of Jesus Christ and say, look, this is the evidence that God's promise will be fulfilled. This tomb, this empty tomb, he has risen. We may die and be buried, but in Christ, we will rise again to the eternal home. And in conclusion, dear brothers and sisters, today we read this text, which invites us to travel back 4,000 years to attend this funeral at Machpelah, where the patriarch Abraham was weeping for his dear wife. We're reminded that this world still groans under the curse of death, and we are reminded that our true identity is sojourners and foreigners in this world. Like Sarah and Abraham, we will bury our dead, and one day we will be buried ourselves. And yet, let the eyes of our faith, gazing into the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, see the blessings that lies beyond the borders of death, and behold God's promise that triumphs over the grave. In Christ, God promised us that he will make all things new. May this glorious message of the gospel strengthen our faith, and may the glorious Lord come soon. Amen.